This is LiveMint.com and you're listening to the Mint Editor's Podcast with me, Nandita Mathur, and Mint's editor, R. Sukumar. So the first story we'll discuss is that finally Tata Sons has a new chairman. N. Chandrasekharan of TCS has been announced. So what do you think this means? Because he has a lot of challenges ahead in terms of...
I think anyone who takes over a role has challenges, right? So let's look at it from multiple perspectives. First, let's look at it from the perspective of Tata Sons. They've had a bad experience with Cyrus Mistry, whosoever fault it was, right? I mean, the issue is now being fought in the courts, so I don't want to get into that. But they had a bad experience. They were looking for a new chairman. They had to find a chairman who would tick several boxes, right? One, they needed to find someone who had some kind of standing within the group. And I think Chandra has really got that kind of standing within the group. He's also got that kind of standing in industry. I remember a few years ago, right? I mean, now, of course, TCS, like all other IT companies, is in the woods a little bit. But this is what I would think 3-4 years ago, I was doing an informal survey, not for publication, but more for my own knowledge, on who various CEOs in corporate India looked up to. I called up around 10 CEOs I knew. Asked them, who do you think is the best chief executive in business right now? And Chandra was there, he was either the first name or the second name. Not entirely surprising because TCS was on a roll then. If you remember, even till 2007, 2008, Infosys was the benchmark of the software services sector, well-managed company, things like that. To come from behind and to change that and to become the benchmark is a pretty big thing. And TCS did that in a very, very significant way. He's got that standing in industry within the company. Two, he's extremely non-controversial, right? I mean, the last thing you want to do if you're the selection committee of Tata Sons is to find someone against whom the Mistry camp can find more ammunition. Right? I mean, you need a non-controversial person, completely professional, someone whose ethics and integrity is beyond question. And I think Chandra is a good candidate from that perspective. Then you come to the question that you raised, which is the group's challenges. The group has significant challenges, like lots of other companies in India do. There are these famous hotspots, as Mistry referred to them after quitting, and they are hotspots, you know, companies within the group which are phenomenally stressed. Many of them are in manufacturing. Some of them are in process industries like power, core industries. People might say Chandra doesn't really have any experience in that. It's factual. But they have worked with a lot of companies in these spaces. TCS has. And for a lot of Indian business companies, the big thing has been business transformation, helping their customers change, become more efficient. So he would be aware of it, at least from the perspective of a IT company, a consulting company, providing services to those clients. And I have a feeling that he'll probably go out and get a vice chairman who is much more industrial in terms of his background and experience, right? So I think it's a good choice from all these perspectives. I also think one should not forget the fact of his background, a very ordinary background, a middle class agricultural background, not an engineer from the IITs, did an MCA from REC Trichy. Soon after, MCA became the rage in Tamil Nadu in the 80s, right? Has worked in TCS all his life, joined TCS only in 1987 and rose through the ranks. So it's completely meritocratic. It speaks tremendously well of TCS and the Tata system that they could do something like this. It's always good to see a story like this, right?
He also, I mean, a lot of people are also saying that he also has this big task of restoring the reputation of Tata Sons, which has taken a blow in this recent, you know, fracas. And also, will he be able to replicate the success of TCS now with him not being there?
Sure. I mean, two separate questions, right? I mean, so first, let's look at the reputation aspect. I think what we will see happening, and I'm told work has already begun on this, is a redefinition of governance structures in the Tata Group. This can't be done by Chandra. I'm sure he will be part of the process, but it has to be done by the board of Tata Sons. The Tata Trusts will have to be involved in this. And they will have to redefine how the trusts interact with Tata Sons, how the trusts interact with operating companies, whether they have a role at all. And I think everything needs to be laid out in black and white. It actually won't be very different than what Cyrus Mistry presented or was going to present in the 24th October meeting before he was fired. But I think it's time it get done. And I'm told that everyone wants to put what's happened behind them and do this. So that's one issue. That's the reputational aspect. Then we come to TCS. Now, TCS is not alone in terms of the challenges it faces. These are challenges for the entire IT sector in India. And the world has changed. The emphasis has moved away in some ways from the traditional application development work that a lot of these companies used to do. Artificial intelligence poses a challenge for a lot of routine work, which can now be automated. And I think Indian companies are in a transitory stage. If you look at the results of Infosys that came out this morning, they're bad. I mean, there's no other way to describe them. And you know, people are asking questions whether Vishal Sikka's successful turnaround, as even our newsroom called it some time back, is not so successful after all. And I think it's probably an indication of what's happening in the sector. That's a challenge that needs to be addressed. Chandra would have had to address that problem even had he been in TCS. And whoever the new CEO of TCS is, which is Rajesh Gopinathan, and with help from the board, with help from various people, and I'm sure Chandra will have his inputs. I mean, as he's going to become chairman of TCS, I'm sure he'll have his inputs on this thing. And I'm sure they'll find a solution. But it's a sectoral issue. And typically, when a sector faces a problem and you have a well-managed company, the well-managed company manages to find a solution, right?
So moving on, this week we also saw a big reshuffle at Flipkart at the top, and now Kalyan Krishnamurthy is the new CEO, and we've done a lot of stories on him on Flipkart, and probably it's because of the markdown in their valuations that this change has happened. So what are some of the key takeaways?
This is an instance of the largest investor, in this case Tiger, calling the shots. Because Kalyan is Tiger's man. Companies are usually hesitant to move promoters out, especially sensitive in the case of founders. Yeah. Becomes even more sensitive in India, right? Where, you know, everyone takes everything personally. Very common in the US, where founders sort of get moved out to non-operating roles. And that's what has happened in the case of Flipkart. I mean, you can call it whatever you want to call it. In this case, they're calling it Group CEO for Binny Bansal. But I think effectively, he's been moved to a non-operating role in some way. Much like Sachin Bansal was moved to a non-operating role last year. And while they are extremely bright people and they are passionate about the business and all that, maybe the business needs someone else at this point in time. Maybe it needs someone with other abilities, someone with a different way of doing things. And the investment is going to be 7-8 years old. I mean, of course, it happened in tranches, but if you look at the earliest investment, and Tiger is obviously asking serious questions, especially because there have been some markdowns, notionally at least, right? I mean, we'll really know whether there's been a markdown only when the next round of funding happens. And if it's a down round, as they call it, which means the valuation at which the company raises money in the coming round is lower than the valuation at which it raised money in the previous round, then I think people will get even more concerned. But I think it's a good move. Change is always good, right? And I'm sure Kalyan Krishnamurthy, judging from at least what's happened over the last year, ever since he's come back, has done a fairly decent job. They've had a successful Big Billion Day sale, which is their big sale event of the year. Sure, they got hit by demonetization, much like everyone else got hit by demonetization. But I think they'll figure out. And I think it's good that this change got done. I just wish that more Indian companies, especially not just the so-called startups, but also established companies where the boards exert influence, are as proactive as Flipkart has been in changing things around if things don't work out.
So coming back to demonetization, we've done a lot of stories, and one of the stories we did was the impact of demonetization, saying that the number of debit card transactions has spiked, whereas the ATM withdrawals has plunged, credit cards and, you know, online banking shows a negative trend. Similarly, another one was on Paytm, now that's becoming a bank, and what does it mean for money in your wallet? So what do you have
all
to say
transactional
on that?
Stuff, right? I mean, demonetization art stand is the same that has been. The execution has been horrible. Short-term impact, we always knew, would be negative. Long-term, we do not know. Cashless is good because it leaves a trail. Electronic transactions leave a trail. It was only anticipated that ATM transactions would see a dip because, I mean, ATMs didn't have money, right? I mean, I went to an ATM for the first time this morning since 8th November. And
get lucky.
No, and the only reason I did it was because I was filling gas at a station and I saw an ATM and I asked the guy and he said, yes, it works. I went there was no one else there. I withdrew some money. I just wanted to see how the feeling was. But I haven't been to an ATM. I didn't particularly need the money, but I haven't been to an ATM since 8th November. So I'm told the problem at ATMs has been resolved. There is some amount of cash that is back in circulation. At least people are no longer throwing a fit when you give them a 2,000 rupee note, right? I mean, many of the shops are happy to give you your change. And it was only expected that Paytm would do well in this period. What has happened with Paytm is Paytm had a payment bank license. I mean, or actually Paytm and Vijay Shekhar Sharma together were given a payment bank license by RBI. The payment bank is launching. One of the conditions of issuing the license by RBI, and which is a good condition, was that the electronic wallet business of the company, which is 197 Communications, be shifted to the payment bank, which is what is happening. So if you have money in your wallet, it just gets transferred. The ownership of that wallet is still yours, but the company behind the wallet is no longer 197. It's now Paytm Payment Bank Limited. It doesn't mean anything else. It doesn't mean you get an account in the bank, nothing else. There have been all sorts of weird rumors during the rounds about the money vanishing and it being difficult and all that. None of that is true. It's just that, like, as far as consumers are concerned, nothing changes.
They should not be worried.
And they shouldn't panic, right? I mean, but that's a generic rule, right? Especially at this time, which is words made famous by the Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, which is don't panic.
Yeah. Finally, the union budget, we come to that. And one of the things they're saying is that they should cut the corporate tax rate, and even CII is pushing it to sort of, you know, 18% from...
Yeah, I don't know whether 18% or something is logical, but they have promised to cut the corporate tax rate from where it is to around 25%,
yeah,
which is good because India is among the highest corporate tax rates in the world. But please note that the effective tax rate, or the tax rate that is actually paid by companies, is only around 22% because of all sorts of exemptions. I hope they remove the exemptions, which is what the finance minister had said. He said he would bring the tax rate down but remove the exemptions, simplifying the process. I think it's a brilliant idea. I think that once all the exemptions go, a corporate tax rate of 20% would be perfect. They should do the same at the individual level. They should bring, especially now that they have effected at least some sort of move to digital transactions, and at least now that they are sort of tracking a lot of these cashless transactions, some part of the informal economy has been formalized. They should reduce personal income tax to also 20% at the peak level, and maybe remove all exemptions. Just remove all exemptions. But they have to sort of make sure that everyone complies with this. There are millions of people in this country who should be paying tax or not paying tax. And I think that would be an extremely positive move, two levels. One, the compliance would ensure that you get more tax revenue, the government gets more tax revenue. Two, I think the fact that they're bringing it down and bringing it down sharply would be a huge sentiment booster at both the individual level and the corporate level. And a sentiment boost is what we need at this point in time.
So those were Sukumar's top stories for this week. Do let us know what you think. You can email us at feedback@livemint.com or follow us at LiveMint on Twitter or Mint on Facebook. Thank you for listening, and see you next Friday.